The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. And so today, Advent has begun with this call from Jesus to keep alert, to be on the lookout. We talk about Advent as a time of preparation, which fits with what we are often doing in our lives at this time. I know a lot of us might be neck deep in preparing for things. But today, Jesus isn't really talking about getting ready in a decorating, shopping, cleaning, scheduling kind of way. In fact, Jesus' words today have such foreboding in them. It makes Advent feel more like doing a lookout shift in the crow's nest of the Titanic than finishing a to-do list. His instructions today, intense and dark as they are, actually remind me of another teacher, albeit a fictional one. His name is Mad-Eye Moody of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry in the world of Harry Potter. Well, his name is Alastor, but he goes by Mad-Eye. I have a fondness for Mad-Eye. He's a bit of a misfit, quite rough around the edges, and I suppose I feel a certain kind of warmth for him in the same way I do for all fictional characters, and in fact, all actual humans that I meet who have lost an eye, just because I have two. If only I'd been a wizard, I might have gotten a much cooler and more magical prosthetic eye. I think mine is pretty magical, actually, in its own way, though, but that's a topic for another day. Today I'm reminded of Moody's barked refrain to all of his students who he was teaching to defend themselves from the threats of dark magic that were growing in the world. "Constant vigilance," he would yell at them. "Constant vigilance." Kind of feels like Jesus is giving a similar order today. To look for the signs, the troubling, tumultuous signs of change, and of the kingdom of God coming close. Now, on the one hand, he seems to suggest that this is a sort of simple thing to do, just like you know that summer is coming when the fig tree sprouts, right? When you see signs of great troubles in nature among the nations, you will know that redemption is close at hand. But I'm not sure if that formula is as clear as Jesus makes it sound. My feelings about this are reminiscent, in fact, of my feelings about animal dissections in biology class. It all looked very clear in the drawing in the book. But once you are inside an actual animal, it's all just a tangle of squishy stuff that smells bad. And I don't really have any idea how to identify a nerve ganglion in all that mess. Thank you very much. This daughter of a doctor knew she was not following in those footsteps. But the picture lulled me into a false sense of understanding. And then once I was elbow deep in, I had no idea what, which is exactly the point, I learned otherwise. Read the signs, Jesus? Natural disasters, unrest among nations? Well, just this week, there have been earthquakes and mounting tensions between Russia and Ukraine and ongoing horrors in Yemen. Is this just our run-of-the-mill tragedy and suffering? Or is this that sign you were talking about? Are we just too numb to believe that could be true? Will we really know these trials when we see them and feel them as Jesus suggests we might? Are we seeing and feeling them now? And I'm led to wonder, have people been asking themselves this exact same question every year since almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus first said these things? I don't think we often know where or how to look for the kingdom that is coming. God keeps showing up in places we don't expect or can hardly seem to find, which actually reminds me of a moment in yet another fictional story universe, this one of the Disney persuasion. There's a moment in the movie Moana, which came to my mind because it is recited frequently in my home, when the young woman after whom the movie takes its name, Moana, is on a grand adventure, and she has been led down into a place called Lalota, the realm of monsters. And there is a giant, frightening, yet rather silly and also musical, jewel-encrusted crab who lives there, Tamatoa. And he's trying to trap her. And he approaches and looms over her and says in a menacing voice, "You can't run from me." And Moana just turns around and does exactly that. And Tamatoa says, "Oh, you can. You keep surprising me." A 4-year-old in my home thinks that's really, really funny. She's not wrong. Like the goofy giant crab, there are so many things that are probably completely predictable in the mind of God, but that seem impossible or unreasonable. And God keeps surprising us, doing unexpected things, showing it up in unexpected places and unexpected people. One of my colleagues shared a story last week about how their small town had put up a nativity in the public park immediately after Thanksgiving. The decorations came out. And separation of church and state questions about that whole practice aside, someone whose motivation remains unknown apparently stole the baby Jesus almost immediately. Now, personally, I think it's entirely possible that that might have just been someone who's a stickler for liturgical correctness. And it wasn't even Advent yet, so Jesus wasn't supposed to be there. But it probably could have also been someone more mean-spirited than that. The fact of the matter is, though, the more I think about it, that town's experience is probably closer to the reality of our Advent journey than what we tend to experience year after year. Because in reality, Jesus rarely stays where we put him. He would not be willing to hang out in a box in a municipal storage shed for 10.5 months of the year. So in a time filled with preparations, what does it look like to be on watch? The way Jesus tells us today, to be putting out the manger and the decorations all just so. They're starting to come here too. Realizing all the while that Jesus has no intention of showing up in domesticated serenity exactly where or how we plan. The listening team that has been helping lead our congregation's missional river process has been thinking about this too, about the spiritual discipline of entering into conversations with each other, with our neighbors, even with scripture, without narrowing the scope of our expectations very much, lest we miss out on what our preconceived ideas have written out of the margins, because God is almost always leading us where our vision hasn't yet brought us. This is a spiritual practice that we often seem to need, learning to listen, to really look, to really be on watch for what we truly don't yet know, can't imagine, is out there. Yesterday was the 30th annual World AIDS Day, reminding us how our society and our church for years profoundly missed the chance to see Christ's love in a community that suffered from and cared for each other through the worst chapter of that disease epidemic in our country. And now, where might the Christ child be where we are not expecting or looking? Are we ready to see Christ present in those who are imprisoned? The prophet Jeremiah and the apostle Paul, whose words we heard today were for many parts of their ministry. Jesus himself was at the end of his life. Are we ready to see families at our border as the Holy Family, seeking refuge for their children in a new land? Are we ready to believe that God really can bring new life from dead ends, like the stump of Jesse, who had been the father of a king, of David, whose family line had included people like Ruth, an immigrant and a widow who became a part of the people of God and of a royal lineage, but whose importance had faded from the people's memory as time passed? Can God bring new life from what looks like a dead end there in us? Can our preparations in this season embrace the kind of watchfulness that allows us to be surprised, redirected, and maybe even disrupted in our well-laid plans? Because Jesus isn't telling us that getting ready means making a list and checking it twice. He's telling us to keep our attention on what is coming, on what we haven't yet thought to put on a list, because it's not what we will be doing. It's what God will be doing in these holy days that matters. Because God is getting ready to do things that we would never think to put on a list anyway, that we couldn't do if we did, that we can barely even begin to imagine. And so I hope we can keep watch for those things, because it is in them that we will truly discover the advent of our God. May it be so. Amen.